is the OnePlus 9 Pro 5G camera all the company hyped it up to be? Unlimited cloud storage, is it too good to be true? My favorite new phone mount, plus your tech questions answered. What's going on? I'm Rich DeMuro, and this is Rich on Tech, the podcast where I talk about the tech stuff I think you should know about. It is also the place where I answer the questions you send me, whether via email or Facebook or Twitter or see me on the streets, whatever. I'm the tech reporter at KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. I hope you are having a fantastic day. Getting ready to do something awesome in life. Taking a breath. I got a little bit of a late start this morning, had some little tiny fires to put out, but all is good. And, you know, I can't complain overall. And I feel like, the kids are getting back into school, which is just wild. I can't believe it. I never thought that would happen. My wife is going back to work, which is wild. I didn't think that would happen. I am still working from home. So I don't know. You know, I've been working from home for a year now. And it used to be I would check in, you know, just say, hey, are you sure you don't want me to come in? You know, do I need to come in? And at this point, it's kind of like, you know, we've gone this far. Things are working out at home. Actually, it's kind of funny. I might have mentioned this on the podcast, but working from home is actually infinitely easier for my segment because I have all the tech stuff I need. So a lot of the stuff that I talk about on TV is gadgets that people are using at home or are gadgets that people are using at home. And so I have basically a real life set here with my entire house. Like yesterday we shot something. Oh, well, I can't talk about that. Well, anyway, you know what I mean. So there's different areas of my house. Like if I need an outdoor area, if I need a an indoor area, or if I need like a desk, like what do you call a desk? Office area. That's what the word is. You know, if I need a kitchen area, we have used every single area of my home to shoot. And it's kind of funny, but you know, it's worked and it's been great. So in some ways it is easier to be here. You know, I've got the 3 smart speakers lined up and connected to Wi-Fi and ready to go. So if I need to compare something, boom, I can compare how the response is. I've got the various cloud, you know, or the various streaming services hooked up. So I can see, you know, if I need to do a quick tutorial on something, I can do that. So, I'm not like forcing myself to go back to work. We have a new boss starting April 21st, I believe. So I think, you know, who knows? We'll see what happens then. And, you know, I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on things and you know, it'll just be different because there's change is always in store, right? When you have new people start. I mean, hopefully they won't change too much, but, you know, there's always room for improvement, right? All right, let's start with my story on KTLA today. I love this story because, you know, this is my secret weapon with my segment. It is you. So because I get so many emails on a daily basis from viewers of my segment and listeners to the podcast and people on my Facebook and people on my Instagram and people on my Twitter, I have literally, you can't pay for an inside track that I have. So when I do a story like today's story with 3 little gadgets, these are the things that people want most. These are things that I get questions about all the time. When we did the story about the password manager, I get questions about password manager so much. So that story was a huge success. Today's story, huge success. Because people are always looking for great Bluetooth speakers. They're always looking for dash cams. And they're always looking for cool accessories for their smartphone. And I found 3 of them. Let me just go through them. The first is the Lexon Minnow X. This was a tiny Bluetooth speaker that I actually found on sale at Nordstrom. I couldn't resist it. My wife was looking at bathing suits and I'm sitting there like, I found this little sale rack and I'm like, what is this? Electronics at Nordstrom? And so I bought this thing because I couldn't resist. It was so tiny. And I brought it home. I played a song on it. My current favorite song, Chris Stapleton's, oh my God. What's Starting Over, I think it's called. Starting Over, Chris. Yeah, Starting Over. Ah, such a good song. So anyway, I played that and I just couldn't believe it. I was like stunned. I said, Lindsay, get out here. I was outside. I was like, come on out. You got to listen to this thing. And we both were just like sitting there in shock. So it's a little tiny speaker. Now, I don't want to bum you out and tell you that I paid $24 for it because it's selling for $40 on Amazon. You know, maybe you'll find it on sale at some point, you know, do a price alert. You don't have to buy things, you know, immediately. But I just love it. It's water resistant. It's rechargeable. It's USB-C, which gives me, hope that it's like, you know, current. And it sounds great. It's literally the tiniest speaker. If you want to see the video on it, go to my Facebook, facebook.com/richontech. cool little speaker. That is now a tool in my toolkit when I bring my backpack of stuff anywhere I go. All right, the next thing is the Nexar Beam GPS dash cam. And I had this thing, I'll be honest, sitting here for about probably 6 months to test. And I just didn't get a chance to test it. And part of that was that my screen or my windshield on my car has been broken for a bit. Like there was this crack that formed and it just kept getting bigger. And I finally one day was like, oh my gosh, why am I taking so long to fix this little tiny repair? And so I call up Safe Light, you know, I didn't even call him. I just did it on my computer. And the guy was out here within 3 hours, fixed it within an hour, and boom, I waited probably 6 months to fix my windshield. So don't wait to do things. And it was about a quarter, it was a third of the price that I thought it would be. So I was like, why did I wait so long to do this? Now I have a great, you know, I can see through my windshield again. And now I was able to set this up and I fell in love with this camera immediately. Like I'm talking immediately. It's so easy. It's tiny. The GPS is integrated into the camera housing, kind of like into the little suction mount. It's tough to explain, but it's just so easy to set up. You run the wire to your, you know, cigarette lighter, whatever they call them nowadays, the power port. And you download the app. And the real magic of this dash cam is the app. The app is so nice. It's so well designed. It's so slick. And I'm using it on iOS, so it's really good. And it's just unbelievable. And what this thing does is it, you know, it just records the roads, $120 camera, but it uses AI to detect unusual events. So there's a little G sensor inside the camera. You know, if there's a hard crash or anything, or like a, you know, someone hits your car while you're parked, it's going to spring into action. It's going to record. And not only that, if your phone is nearby, it's going to immediately send that data to the cloud, like that little clip, so that, you know, for safekeeping reasons. So it's really fantastic. The video is crystal clear. And I know that $120 is a little pricey for a standard dash cam, but honestly, I think you're paying for the amazing design and smarts on this camera. You can get a camera on Amazon for like, what, 40, 50 bucks? But I'm telling you, the software is what's going to absolutely kill you, because you're just going to be like, this is so annoying. This is a pleasure. You want to sit there and look through all your clips. Exporting clips is easy. Making a clip is easy. You get unlimited cloud storage for your clips. So if you want to upload them all to the cloud, you can do that. It's really quite amazing. Nexar Beam GPS dash cam is what it's called. And finally, this might be my favorite of the bunch. The Tentacle 360. This is a phone mount / tripod. I might have talked about it in the podcast, but it's just amazing. It's a $40 device. I've been using it as a stabilizer, as a wraparound mount. It could be a tripod. It's you know, maybe 6 inches tall. It's not the big, huge tripod. But you can literally wrap this thing around tree branches. You can stand it up. You can use it as, I mean, it's possibilities are unlimited. So during the summer, you know, summer's coming up, you're going to be traveling, you're going to be doing stuff outside the house. This is like just a simple, smart way to like just up the ante, right? You take it on a hike, you take it wherever you go, on a boat. And it's just seriously cool. I talked to the guy who invented it. Let me get his name, because now, I know his name is Hans, but I have to remember his last name. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed right now. I am so embarrassed. I can't believe it. Hans Dose. I should remember that. So Hans Dose, cool guy, wore a Hawaiian shirt to my Zoom interview with him. He's in, where is he? Somewhere in like San Clemente area, kind of. But he came up with this thing because he was on a hike and he tried to, you know, prop up his phone on a tree branch, take a picture. Next thing you know, the phone crashed to the ground. The whole thing shattered. And what a nightmare. And boom, now he's an amazing entrepreneur. So good for you, Hans. And I'll never forget your last name again. I'm sorry. Cool guy. You know, we put this on TV today. He said it was amazing. So many people bought one. And I just love that, because I love when I find things that I think are just life-changing and awesome and other people feel exactly the same. So anyway, check it out. I've got a link on my, I'll put the links in the show note for all those gadgets, okay? Let's get to the first question. Let's see, not so much question, but comment. William says, hey, Rich, just want to let you know that my son bought the very first Volkswagen ID.4 sold by Galpin Volkswagen, maybe the first sold in California. He absolutely loves it, despite the fact that some of the tech items originally promised by Volkswagen are not available on the first models. Awesome, William. I don't know if I forget what I talk about on the podcast, but I did drive the Volkswagen, and I'll be honest, I fell in love with it. But at this point, I am going to go with the Tesla 3 for my personal car, because I just feel like I love what Volkswagen's doing. It's amazing. I fell in love with that car. But at the end of the day, when I really collect all my thoughts and all of my kind of feelings about the situation, I love what Tesla's doing as much as what Apple's doing. They are an Apple of the car world. And you're not just buying the Tesla, you're buying into the entire world of Elon Musk and the way he thinks and his smart brain and the way they do things. And so for that reason, that's the direction I will end up going when I buy a new car. I just got my windshield fixed, so that's not happening anytime soon. But you know what I mean, when I'm ready for it. So William, awesome. The Volkswagen, the ID4, I was super duper impressed with. I thought it was seriously cool. And I think it's a strong contender if you are considering a Tesla, especially the Model Y, which is like their little SUV. The ID4 is a great alternative to that. And so definitely, definitely check it out. All right, let's get to the first story. Are we on the second story? I guess this is the second story, but this is, this makes me sad. So OnePlus launched the new OnePlus 9 series smartphones. And here's the thing. I get a lot of this stuff early, right? So I had the OnePlus phones for a couple weeks and I'm sitting there and I'm using them. And I have never been so excited to unbox a phone and use it because I'm like, this might be my next phone, right? Well, after using it for a couple of days, it became very clear to me that this was not going to be my next phone. And that's because the camera was just so all over the place. I could not trust it to take a consistent shot. And so I thought this, but you know, you never really know. And so I decided I wasn't really going to cover it for KTLA for various reasons. With that said, I kind of was like, this is really a non-starter. I can't go on TV and tell people about this phone that might be amazing. And then it's like, oh, by the way, it's only available through one carrier. Like, no, that doesn't really work these days. So I kind of held off and I just did like some social media stuff, like a little video on my Facebook, maybe something on my Instagram. I kind of forget. And I kind of like went through some pictures and I was like, I'm not impressed with the pictures on this thing. But I sat there like, oh my gosh, like, cause I've recorded this stuff before before everyone, they call them embargoes, before you're allowed to actually publicly talk about it. And so, you know, I sat there and I'm like, I don't know, like, am I wrong? And I'm like nervous. I'm like sitting up, like, what if all the reviewers come out and they say, oh my God, this is the best phone ever. This is the best camera ever. And I'm sitting there saying, well, I don't really like the fringing around the photos of flowers. And this photo is a little odd. And sure enough, it came out. I watched one review and exactly what I imagined, what I thought was exactly what was said in this review. And so I was like breathing a sigh of relief. I was like, oh, okay. Whew. So it was not just me. It was, and I read several reviews and I looked at several reviews and everyone was kind of saying the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, so much hype for this smartphone because of this camera. And it kind of fell flat. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that it's still a good camera. I think it's a great camera. It's just not a consistent camera. And that's the problem. You might get a great shot. You might not get such a good shot. And that's like, you know, when I was using this thing for the couple of weeks I was testing it, I just kept going back to my iPhone when I really wanted to make sure I got the shot right. And that's a problem. So anyway, I'll just give you the top level stuff about the OnePlus 9 series. There's two phones, the 9 Pro, which, you know, is the main one, and then the 9, which, you know, that's, I don't know why you'd want that one. But anyway, they've got all the specs you need. So, I mean, the specs on this thing are just phenomenal. Like, this is my perfect Android phone, right? The screen is big. It feels great in your hand. It's a perfect size phone. It's got a great color. It's got a great camera setup. It charges phenomenally fast. I'm talking 30 minutes to charge the entire phone, so you never have to worry about charging. It's got, you know, tons of megapixels, big sensor. The telephoto lens is terrible. It really is just not good. But the other two lenses are really nice, but they're just, again, they don't create shots that are as good as something you can get off the Samsung or the iPhone. And that makes me really sad because I've loved this company for so long and I just feel like they're kind of falling apart. And I don't know what's happening. And I just read today that the main marketing guy, the CMO, is leaving. And he was a big, big supporter of this company for so many years. I met him many times, Kyle. And it's just, you know, it's just sad. So anyway, it is IP68. It's got the 120 hertz display. The best software on an Android phone. The software on the OnePlus is like butter. It's so good. It's perfect. But yet, again, I come back to it. It's just, I can't use it. Anyway, I don't want to totally, you know, be a bummer about it. Maybe they can fix things in a software update and we'll keep an eye on that. But it was a little bit overhyped. They've got this new Hasselblad, I don't know how you say it, Hasselblad partnership. And it's just, you know, it just did not do much. I think the colors on the pictures are just kind of very, very muted and very dim and dingy looking compared to like the iPhone or Samsung where it's like, it just pops. You know what I mean? And some people might like that. I personally don't. So there you have it. It's going to be available. Let's see. $969 for the Pro. And it's available April 2nd. Now, the other thing that OnePlus came out with is a watch. And I'm a little concerned about this because this seems like the perfect watch for Android people. But again, it's like, are they promising a lot and then not delivering? We'll see. So it looks like a Samsung, kind of that design where it's got the round face and it's got, you know, notifications. It's got the ability to make and answer calls, play music. You can store up to 500 songs on it. It's got Bluetooth. So you can connect wireless earbuds. It's got great battery life. You can get a, you know, charges in 20 minutes for a week's worth of power. Let's see, 2 weeks of use or a week worth of use if you're really like, you know, a big active user. It's got water resistance, IP68. It's got all kinds of workout types on there, including automatic detection for running and jogging. It's got built-in GPS, blood oxygen monitoring, stress detection, breathing training, rapid heart rate alerts, and sedentary reminders. So, I mean, amazing. For $159. I mean, sounds like a winner. But again, we're just going to have to see what the deal is with this thing. So I'm treading lightly on that because I want to believe that's my dream watch. If it had LTE, it would be my dream watch. It does not, unfortunately. But there you have it. Erica writes in, "Hey, Rich, I hope you're well. I recently bought some Feet electric smart bulbs from Costco. I've seen them there for sure. I just don't know how to pronounce them. Feet, I'm guessing. I really want to get them set up, but my husband thinks they're unsafe to use. He believes we can be jacked or get spyware. Is this the case with smart light bulbs? Thanks, Erica." It's a good question, Erica, and we often hear how the weakest link to any network is really an internet-connected device that is, you know, the software might be outdated, it might have a bug or some sort of hole in the software, security hole, and so I think your husband is being cautious, but I also think he's a little bit like, come on, like, I don't think you're going to get hacked or spyware from these things. Now, with that said, what I always recommend with any of these smart home devices, especially the ones that seem innocuous, right? The ones that seem like, oh, I'm just plugging in a light bulb, no big deal. Well, that's where you need to worry because the Nests of the world and the, you know, the Google Homes and the Apple devices, they're all fine. Your password is going to be, you know, strong. They've got everything encrypted. They've got the best software teams. It's these random brands that are creating stuff that's super cheap that you need to be concerned about. Now, I'm not saying you should not use it. I do have some stuff like this in my home, but you need to make sure you do not use their default password, and you need to make sure that you keep the software updated if there is a thing on a light bulb. I mean, you know, if you have a Hue bulb, yeah, they're updating the software all the time. If you have a Lifix bulb, they're updating. If you have a Nanoleaf bulb, they're updating that stuff all the time. With Fite or Feet or whatever it's called, it may not be updated. So you just do have to be concerned, but I think you're going to be okay. You plug these light bulbs in and I think you're going to be fine. But again, just make sure that you're being smart about this stuff. Don't just plug them in and, you know, take for granted that they're going to be safe. Just take the proper precautions, and that way you can protect your entire network because your network is only as secure as, you know, the device that someone can break into it on. So just be careful with that. All right. Good question there. Let's see. What should we go to? The quickie. Let's do a quickie story. Disney Plus is hiking prices for the first time in the U.S. Disney Plus now stands at $7.99 a month. This, according to Variety, went up from $6.99 a month. Now it's $79.99 a year compared to $69.99 for the annual plan before. First time the company has raised rates since Disney Plus debuted in November 2019, which, by the way, Can you believe it's already been a year and November, December, January, February, March, a year and almost 6 months that Disney Plus has been available? I cannot believe it. It feels like just yesterday I was recording my segment and planning my segment for KTLA on Disney Plus. And when I went back to cut some video on this for TV to talk about the price hike, I had to go back into my files and I was like, wait, 2019? What? So I think we've gotten our use out of it. I would say, for the family movies, like the sit-down Friday night thing, I wish they had a little bit more, because we're not, like, it would be awesome if there was something every Friday night, like a new, like, Pixar movie. I get it. That's really tricky. I mean, is it too much to ask for, like, a $600 million budget movie or $1 billion budget movie every week? I mean, come on, Disney. But nonetheless, look, Disney Plus is still pretty cheap compared to the other services. They've got 100 million subscribers. If you look at Netflix or, you know, HBO Max, those are all much more expensive. Hulu, it depends on what you have. If you have like the ad-free Hulu like I do, I think it's like $12 a month. But, you know, you can get a bundle though if you got Disney Plus, because that's all the same. So, you know, look, it's going up. I put this on my Facebook page and people were, you know, people get angry on the Facebook page, you know, like, oh, how dare they? But then, you know, at the end of the day, they're probably keeping it, I would say. And yeah, they'll probably lose some people, but I don't think it's going to be enough to, like, you know, totally go from 100 million subscribers to 50 million overnight. I think Disney is going to be okay. All right, question from Marcella says, hey, Rich, does Arlo Doorbell offer better security than the Ring app? Why the price difference? Thanks. Well, I assume when you say Ring app, you mean the Ring video doorbell. So if you look at Arlo, you know, here's the thing. You have to think about the fact that when you buy one of these devices, these little smart home devices, right? It seems like an easy, innocent purchase. Okay, you know, you get a doorbell video camera. But what you're really doing is buying into an ecosystem. So you have to be very thoughtful and strategic about this, because you have to look at all the products that Arlo offers and all the products that Ring offers and see which one you like better. You have to see the subscriptions that they offer and see if you like Arlo better or Ring better. Now, I will be honest, I'm not too familiar with the Arlo stuff. I know that a lot of people like it, but I just don't know. I'm not familiar with like their subscription situation, if they even have one. I think a lot of the Arlo stuff does like onboard recording, and I think that's why people like it, because it's like it is cheaper over time, right, than it is for the Ring stuff. And so let's see, Arlo Smart. Okay, let's see what Arlo Smart is. Okay, Smart subscription plan. So they do have a subscription plan for Arlo. And if you look at it, it is single camera. Okay, so there's no plan, which gives you live video streaming. And then there's the single camera plan, which is $3 a month, and up to 5 cameras, which is $10 a month. And then the Elite, which is up to 4K video, which is up to 15. So that's the main thing you need to look at. So if you look at the doorbells, they're pretty much the same price. The wireless doorbell is $199 for the Arlo. It's currently $169 for the video doorbell 3 Plus. But if you go on the website for Ring, I mean, they just have so many products at this point that it's like everywhere. I mean, so you can get a video doorbell for as cheap as $85. And it might not be as clear or as, you know, many features as the newest one. But again, I think that's what you mean when you're saying this price difference is, why should I pay $200 for the Arlo when I can get a Ring for like $85? And it's a valid question. But personally, I mean, I think these are both really good companies. And I'm looking at Arlo, like what they have. They've got cameras, doorbells, floodlight cameras. I think Ring has the larger scope of accessories, and I've been slowly but surely installing more Ring stuff because I just think they're just coming out new stuff so often that I love it. And their plan, I think, is $10 a month for like everything, which is really reasonable. And that, I think that includes the alarm system. I think it's only $3 a month for the other, like if you just have a bunch of cameras. Don't quote me on that, 'cause I've not subscribed just yet. Here it is. Ring, let's see, where is it? Ring Protect. Here's how much Ring Protect is. Ring Protect compare plans. $3 a month or $30 a year for basic. Yeah. Plus is the Ring alarm. So that actually disregard that unless you're doing their alarm system. So yeah, $3 a month or $30 a year for one device. Oh, okay. So all devices is $10 a month. Okay. So yeah, it's 10 bucks a month. So again, you kind of have to decide, like, which ecosystem do you want to be a part of? And that's really what it comes down to. So take a look at all the products. You know, Ring is coming out with stuff like it seems like every day. Arlo, they've been a little bit slower and steadier with their products, but they have the basic stuff you need, doorbells, cameras, floodlights, you know, those kind of things. So it just really depends what you want and the ecosystem that you want to get into. And let's be honest, after, you know, you're not going to stick on the free plan probably. You're going to end up buying the subscription plan. So you got to think about how much that's going to cost you and whether you want to pay that each month. All right, let's talk about MacBook. So this is just another quick story. MacBook owners that bought a MacBook between, let's see, basically 2015 and 2019, whether a MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, MacBook, you had this thing called the butterfly keyboard design. And this was the topic of many, many a conversation in the tech world. People hated this keyboard. Apple, of course, you know, they go on stage saying how great it is. When you actually get it, you're like, oh, this is horrible. And I know from personal experience because I had a MacBook Pro with this laptop, with this keyboard. And it was the worst typing experience ever. Now, it did do the thing. Okay, so what people are saying, so basically there's a class action lawsuit now in a bunch of states against this keyboard, and who knows, you'll probably get like a check for $25, but the reality is it makes you realize that, you know, all these people were complaining about it for so long and Apple just kept dismissing it. You know, they never really came out and said that this was a horrible design. They tweaked it, you know, every year they would tweak, or every 2 years they would tweak the design just a little bit, but they'd still say it was so great. But we all knew using it that it wasn't. And now, you know, I actually was pretty much pushed to buying the new MacBook Pro 16 because I just couldn't deal with the keyboard on the old one. Now my son has it and he's fine. You know, he doesn't really know any different. But the reality is this was just a really not fun keyboard to have. So there was a famous column in the Wall Street Journal from Joanna Stern. She wrote the whole column with the double key presses. So a lot of people would say that when you got like some dust or crumbs in this keyboard, it would stick. And so the keys would type instead of like one E, it would type two. And I had this problem and it drove me nuts. And I'm like, is something happening? Like, what is going on? Why is this happening? And so now it all makes sense. Apple abandoned the design in 2020, according to The Verge. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I just feel like, okay, I actually know that I was not the one that thought that this was a little bit weird and everyone else thought it was fine. No, it was really weird. So now we know. Whether you get your money or not, at least you feel like, you know. Okay, let's move on to this. Let's see here. Mm-mm-mm. Bill says, first off, I really like your segments on the morning news. Very informative. Thank you, Bill. Is there a way to remove the annoying provider boot splash and sound that happens every time you turn on your phone? If you do not know, can you steer me to someone who might? Thanks. My particular phone is a Samsung Galaxy S9, in case that matters. Keep up the good work and stay safe, William. Well, William, I assume you're talking about, because your email says sent from the Samsung Galaxy Note 8, an AT&T 5G evolution capable smartphone. You're talking about the boot up screen that basically flashes like AT&T, makes their little sound, and it's like boop, 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 and it's every time. Now, I don't know how many times you're restarting your phone and seeing this, but yeah, I agree. It's 100% bogus, annoying, bloated, lame, no need for it. Why these carriers love to brand their phones so much, I don't get it. It's not like they're giving us a discount to have all this branding on it, but it happens. And the only phone that you don't get that on is the iPhone. And maybe, you know, some of the things like OnePlus. Actually, if you buy a OnePlus branded from T-Mobile, you might get that too. But anyway, I don't know of a way to get rid of that. I used to ROM phones all the time, which is, you know, installing like new operating systems on them. And I'm not even sure that that got rid of it. I can't remember, honestly. But I think, Bill, I don't think it's something for the faint of heart to do. Like, I don't think like the average person that just has a Samsung Galaxy S9 can just like, you know, go into some settings and change that. This is like a real, like, you know, you would have to do some serious heavy duty stuff on your phone to get rid of this. And I don't think that that's something that I could recommend on this consumer podcast. But I mean, and I don't even remember the websites I used to go to for like the, I think it was like Cyanogen mod that I used to use. Like, you know, there's all these ROMs. I used to love installing those. I used to think that I could make the Android phone so much better with all these ROMs. And I used to, oh, it was such a nightmare because nothing worked properly. And you would just install one and, like, you know, their phone calls wouldn't work. You'd install another one and the camera wouldn't work. You'd install another one. And it's like some other cool thing you could, you know, it's like none of it ever worked properly. And I stopped doing that many, many years ago, probably 5 years ago. I don't know. But I got over it. So, Bill, I don't think there's a way to really do this easily. So I would just, you know, restart your phone and just put it in like a corner while it restarts so you don't hear it or see it. That's my advice. Oh, speaking of carriers, Verizon has a pretty good deal. And I'm skeptical of this deal because it is from Verizon, even though I have nothing against them. You know, full disclosure, my service is with Verizon and it's fantastic. I love it. I pay a lot for it, but it's great. They have Verizon Cloud for unlimited storage. Yes, you heard me correct. Unlimited storage with Verizon Cloud. This is a brand new plan for $20 a month. Unlimited. Now, I would make the joke that all these carriers have unlimited cell phone plans, which are anything but unlimited. Except T-Mobile, they do have one that actually is unlimited. But Verizon, AT&T, unlimited does not really mean the same thing to you and I that it means to them with their plans. So that's why I'm a little bit hesitant, because I'm like, what's the fine print on this? Is it really unlimited, or are you limited in some way? But they say, no, it is unlimited. Store as much as you want. Automatically upload files from iOS, Android, Windows, and Mac. The first month is free. It's not just for photos and videos. You can store anything, files. You can even store your texts on Android, which is kind of cool, like a text backup feature. You can set up private folders, which keep them private. You can share with family and friends. You can share Verizon Cloud with up to 4 other users, whether or not they're Verizon. That's really interesting. Because it says family and friends. That means they don't even have to be on Verizon. Like, I could share this unlimited cloud with my brother. Like, that's really cool. $20 a month. I meant to download this before I did the podcast so I can kind of check it out. I did not get a chance, but I will. But then it got me to thinking, okay, $20 a month is amazing, but I already pay $10 a month for my Google storage, which is 2 terabytes. If I bump it up to 10 terabytes, it's $50 a month, which I know sounds like a lot, but if I'm paying 20 for Verizon and 10 for Google, and now I have to put my stuff in 2 places, I can just put $30 towards Google, and now I'm only paying 20 extra for my 10 terabytes on Google. Are you following me? But that still only gives me 10 terabytes, not unlimited. But is 10 terabytes enough? Probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm up to 2, but I mean, you know, 10 would took me a couple of years to get to 2. So, I mean, I don't know. How long would it take me to get to 10? And then maybe I can just wait until I get to that 10 and then switch. I don't know. So this is the way I think. So I think that, you know, it sounds amazing that Verizon's offering this, and I think it's cool. The only thing I don't like is that it links you to Verizon indefinitely. And of course, that's the name of the game with these add-on services. You know, they want you to have all these things on one bill so that you stick with them. And if you're like, oh, I want to change my provider, and you're like, oh, now I don't get the Verizon Cloud for $20 a month unlimited. Oh, I'll just stick with Verizon. So there's a reason why they do these things. And so, but at the same time, it is a very compelling, it is very compelling. $20 a month for unlimited, that I would never have to think about my cloud storage. I'm also curious how good the apps are, how good the search is. I can find anything in my Google Drive within reason very quickly. And everything's indexed and sliced and diced, and images are all indexed and PDFs are indexed, everything. I mean, you could find stuff in there, you know, type in sunrise and you find everything with sunrise, pictures, videos, whatever, documents. So, you know, it's a good deal, but I personally hope that their offer forces some of these other cloud service providers or cloud storage providers to bring down their prices or increase their storage. It's been a while since we saw Google double from 1 terabyte to 2. Maybe they'll bump that up to a little bit more. All right, Tommy says, hey, Rich, good morning to you. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm just wondering, what's your take on the new MacBook Air M1? Will it be good for basic use like web, office, and very little photo and video editing? Would you advise to go for 256 or 512 storage? Thank you, Tommy. Tommy, I think the new MacBook Air M1 is amazing. I was a little bit wrong on this because I was kind of thinking it would not be that great, but I have not tested it, but people love it. All the reviews I've seen, all my, you know, tech friends on Instagram and Twitter love it, and I've found little fault with it. And so I say, go for it. Very little photo, video, and editing. I think it can handle any photo, video, and editing that you're going to be doing. If you're saying it's very little, it's probably just personal use, simple stuff. I used to edit on my MacBook Air all the time for video, and it was fine. It couldn't really handle, like, you know, the big, big stuff, but for everyday basic stuff, yeah. And whether 256 or 512, definitely go 512. Get the most memory they offer, the most RAM, and the most ROM. So you want the most storage and the most memory. So if 512 and 16 is max, go for 512, 16. You will be happy later because, you know, these are expensive. And I always tell people, you're already going, let's say this MacBook, I don't know how much the M1 is. Let's see how much it is. It's probably like $999 or $1,199. Let's see. It is... Dun, 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 dun. It is $899 education store. So that means it's $999. Okay. So $999. They have two configurations. They've got 256 or 512. 256 is $999. That comes with 8 gigs of memory. And then 512 is $1,249. So people are always like, ah, $1,249 is so expensive, but you're already going the $999. Like, you're already spending that. So the little distance is $250. And, you know, just don't eat out for, like, you know, a bunch of meals. And you know, don't eat out at, like, you know, fast food for a couple months and you'll be fine. You know, that's the way I see it. You know, there's ways that, you know, we all have, you know, if you're buying a computer for $999, I get it. You're going, it's expensive, but you're going that far. So if you go a little bit more for the 512, you're doubling your storage for 250 more. So you're not doubling your storage for 2000 for another 1000 more, 500, it's 250. So if you don't need all that storage, like if you literally do everything in the cloud, you don't really have a lot of stuff that you're going to be dealing with, then by all means, just go with the 256. You'll be fine. So, but I think for maximum use over the years, I like the 512. You're also getting a slightly better GPU. It's 8-core GPU versus 7-core. Let me see if they can, if you can update or upgrade the memory on this. Oh, you can. Yeah, $200. Oh, wow. You can even go up to 2 terabytes of storage. Ooh, that would be my configuration. MacBook Air, 16 gigs of storage, 2 terabytes. That would be a whopping $2,049, which is actually, it's not too bad. For 2 terabytes? Ooh, that's getting me thinking. But I don't want the MacBook Air. I would want the MacBook Pro 13. But see, now I'm on a 16-inch. I just can't go back to 13. There's no way. That screen would be just too small. So let's see if I max out the 13, which is, let's see, Intel. I don't want Intel. I want M1. There we are. So base price is $1,500. And then if I add the 16 gigs of memory plus the 2 terabytes, now you're talking 2,300. Now that's a lot. Not spending that right now. All right, good question. All right, now I thought this was a really, really good tip. This comes from the datadoctors.com. They do a radio 1 minute quick tip each day for non-tech people. So they're talking to me, they're talking to the people that I talk to, right? You know, non-techies per se. People that are watching the local news, they just see my tech segment and they go, oh, that's interesting. I thought this was brilliant. And I get questions all the time about, you know, people getting hacked on Instagram and Facebook and you get locked out and there's no way back in. And there's really nothing I can tell you to do except just go to the help, you know, Facebook help page and just kind of follow the directions they give you. Sometimes you get back in, sometimes you don't. But this little tip from Data Doctors is perfect. If you go into your Facebook security settings, and this is before you get hacked, do this today, there is a trusted contacts section. Okay? Let me get this, because I actually went in here and looked at this, and I thought it was amazing, because mine's not set up. And so you go into your Facebook page, you go into, let me see how you find trusted contacts. Go to security and login. Okay? Go to your Facebook page. And then go to your security and login tab, and then you scroll down, and it says setting up extra security. Choose 3 to 5 friends to contact if you get locked out. and they will get a code if you ever get locked out. If you're trying to say, hey, this is my account, I can't get back in, it will send a code to your friends. And they will say, yeah, I know Rich. He's trying to get in. Yeah, click the code and boom. So what happens is they send a code to all three of your friends. You have to use that code to log in, all three of those codes, not just one. So you can choose 3 to 5 friends. I have not chosen any friends yet to do this. I'm going to do this today. But what a good idea. It's brilliant. Do this before you get hacked. So again, go to facebook.com/settings. Then go to your security tab. So go to settings and privacy. And let's see. See, it's easier just to go to the link. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's facebook.com/settings=tab. This is why you can't say this on the radio or podcast. facebook.com/settings?tab=security. So it's basically your security tab inside the settings. And then scroll down to where it says setting up extra security. I'm going to do a video on this so I can explain how to do this. But this is a brilliant, brilliant thing. If you really want to protect your Facebook account, that's what you got to do. Set up those trusted contacts. All right. Lisa says, Dear Rich, I love your show and your podcast. Really appreciate how you answer listeners' questions in a way non-techies like me can understand. What I just say? We have about 100 family members. We'd like to make historic photos of family members available to all, no matter their tech ability. I know of Flickr. Are there others out there? Some relatives are in their 80s and 90s. Your help would be appreciated. Sincerely, Lisa. Well, Lisa, I think any cloud storage would work for this. And you basically want to send a link that does not require any sort of login. That's the magic here, because you're talking 80s and 90s. You don't want to make them jump through any sort of hoops to see these pictures. Now, if you want these pictures to remain private, that is a little bit trickier, because you are going to have to password protect them if you want to do that. But if you just want to give, like, you know, a random URL, and it's going to be pretty private just because it's a random URL, and you send it to these family members and they get to see all these pictures, download them, do whatever, I think you can use Flickr. I think that would work just fine. I think Dropbox is perfect for this. I think Dropbox will give you like a, I don't know how much they give you at this point for free storage, but like a gig. And then you've got, let's see, you can use Microsoft OneDrive. You can use Google Photos. You can use Google Drive. I mean, there's so many ways of doing this. I think any of these cloud services would work. I don't know how many pictures you have, but I think you want the easiest thing. I think probably the easiest thing would be Dropbox, but the only tricky thing that all these providers do these days, which could trip up your family members, is, you know, when you do these free links, they always try to get them, they always try to trick them into like signing up or even logging in to download, even though you don't have to. I get this all the time with like Box and like all these other services. You know, I get links to pictures that people send me, like press people. And it's like you press download and immediately up pops a box to log in or sign up. And you're like, oh, I got to sign in. And the download kind of waits 5 or 10 seconds, and then it happens in the background, which, you know, they call it a dark pattern, you know, where it's trying to trick you into doing something. And for the uninitiated, for the less techie, a lot of times they'll just do it. They'll just log in or create an account. And then, you know, they realize they don't really have to do that, and or they may never realize that. So I don't like that, but I get it. They're trying to make their free services worth your time and, you know, trying to get people to convert. But if I had to pick one, you know, I'd pick one that you're already a member of. So let's see, how'd you email me? I don't have your email address. Okay, so I don't know what email or what service you're using, but, you know, like Google Photos makes it pretty darn easy to send links to people. I mean, I exchange pictures with my photographer all the time, like little videos and stuff that I'll... So we use Dropbox primarily, but then if he needs like a video that I shot that's already in Google Photos, I will literally just generate a link and boom, send it to him, and he can just download the photo from the link or the video, and it's super duper easy. So that's what I'd recommend. Check them out, and I think all those will work. And get those pictures scanned and share them with your friends and family. It's beautiful. It's beautiful when you can do that. Let me tell you about Fleeceware. This is from Avast. They say that Fleeceware apps have earned over $400 million on Android and iOS. Ugh. Again, this is preying upon people that are less tech savvy. Researchers at Avast have discovered 204 Fleeceware applications with over a billion downloads and $400 million in revenue on both Apple and Google Play. The purpose of these applications is to draw users into a free trial to test the app. And then guess what? You forget to cancel and boom, you're charged. And even if you cancel after that, they've already made the $1.99, $2.99, $3.99, $4.99. Sometimes these things go up to very, very expensive free trials. I mean, it could be like $99. And then you got to try to get your money back. Fleeceware consists predominantly of musical instrument apps, palm readers, image editors, camera filters, fortune tellers, QR code readers, PDF readers, and slime simulators. The applications generally do what they're supposed to do. They scan QR codes, but you don't need to pay for a QR code scanner. They target younger audiences through playful themes and catchy ads on social networks with free installation. And so this is interesting because it's actually targeting the teens. And my kid yesterday gave me a screen time request to download a VPN. And I'm sure he saw it as an ad on one of the games he's playing. So these apps also take advantage of the fact that users are not familiar with how subscriptions work, which means even after you've deleted the app, the subscription keeps going. And a lot of people don't know how to cancel subscriptions. They made it a lot easier on iOS. On Android, when you uninstall, it says, hey, do you want to cancel the subscription? I believe it says that every time. On iOS, I think that was a feature they were thinking of introducing. I'm not sure if it ever was introduced, but they've made it easier to find your subscriptions on iOS anyway. It's like two clicks now versus like 10 before. So I think this is, again, one of those things that you just kind of tell your friends and family about, you know, just... You know, my trick with free trials is you go in, you cancel it immediately. So I subscribed to Paramount Network the other day to watch the new SpongeBob movie, which I thought was fantastic, by the way. I really, really enjoyed it. And now I'm going to watch You Can't Do That on Television, but they gave me a free trial of 1 month. And that's on my through my Apple TV and through iOS or, you know, through Apple subscriptions. And so what I did was I always let them email me. And then as soon as I get that email, you know, when I check my email the next morning or whatever, I go in and I cancel that subscription immediately. Now, you might say, Rich, why would you do that? That's so mean to the developers. Like, you're just using them for their free trial and you're canceling it without even trying it. No. What I'm doing is protecting myself from myself. And so if I want Paramount Plus after my free trial, I can go ahead and resubscribe at any time. It doesn't really hurt anyone in the process. So what I always do is, as a rule, just go ahead and cancel your subscription immediately after you subscribe. And if you feel like you're being mean, you're not. You're just protecting yourself. And the best part is, let's say you want to continue the subscription, and on the 27th day when your subscription is supposed to renew, and it's not, and all of a sudden you're trying to access the app, you go, oh yeah, I canceled this. So it automatically canceled out. All these free trials you can continue to use until the free trial runs out, even if you cancel it. The only exception, ironically, is Apple's own free trials. If you cancel them, a lot of times they just stop working immediately, which is, you know, talk about dark patterns, but whatever, I digress. So I think you just do that, and that's the rule that you make. And again, I'm talking, you know, if you're techie and tech savvy, but there's a lot of people, like my dad just subscribed to Hulu, and I can guarantee you he will forget to cancel by the time the free trial. Not to, you know, single out my dad, but it just happens. It happens to everyone. I did it the other day. What did I do? I forget what the app was, but I signed up for my kid, and I say, oh, they got me. They got me for an extra month because I forgot to do this. And this was a specific app my kid needed like immediately. Oh, it was Minecraft Realms. And it was like $8, but he wanted me to like do this and I had to do it fast. And I just kind of forgot. And I actually know why I forgot. And it was because I talked about this in another podcast. My emails from Apple were not arriving to my inbox. They were going to like spam or something. So now I've got them arriving. So now when I see, oh, you subscribe to a free trial, I say, oh, cancel, and then I'll resubscribe if I end up loving it. And you can always go back and do that. Just remember that. All right, next question. Nancy says, hey, Rich, hope all is good with you. Hopefully you can help me. My question is, we have an RV with a WineGuard antenna. Can we connect it to a Verizon mobile Wi-Fi and have our Samsung TV work off Wi-Fi instead of having a contract with Dish TV or Dish Network or DirecTV or Dish Network? Thank you for your help, Nancy. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I don't know what the WineGuard antenna is. I'm guessing, Let's see. Is that like some sort of special RV antenna? I'm guessing it must be. Okay. Yeah. So, oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I don't know what kind of antenna this is. If this is taking in satellite TV, that's what I'm guessing. But I don't think you can connect that antenna specifically to a Verizon hotspot. But I think you can have your Samsung TV work off Wi-Fi if you get a Verizon hotspot. My solution would be get the Verizon mobile hotspot. Maybe before you do any of this, just cancel the DirecTV or Dish Network. Use your iPhone as a hotspot if you can, if your mobile service allows it, and get a little streaming stick for your TV. So I know Samsung TVs have some sort of smarts built in, but just bypass that and go with like either, I personally would go with the, I'd go with the Amazon Fire TV stick. Get that, plug that into the back of your TV, use your phone to set up the Wi-Fi. So turn it into a hotspot, connect the Amazon Fire TV stick to your phone's Wi-Fi and take a trip and see if you can live with the apps, you know, the streaming apps, you know, Netflix, I'm guessing is one of the popular ones or whatever else you're using. See if you can deal with those over your Wi-Fi. And then if you like it and it seems to work, then go ahead, invest in a mobile hotspot, get Verizon's, whatever you want to do, especially if they have a 5G one. I mean, that would be amazing because you get, you know, good signal. And just hook that up in your RV, put it near a window, run it to a power strip and turn it on, and boom, you have Wi-Fi 24/7 in your RV. Add it to your cell phone plan, and you know, now your little your Amazon Fire TV stick is running to that Wi-Fi, and you'll probably save a bundle in your, you know, DirecTV or Dish Network fees. That's what I would do. I think that's the best solution there. All right, let's do one more story before we go. This was just something that was kind of fun. Freeblockbuster.org. So I saw a tip on Instagram from one of my friends that they had a free Blockbuster kiosk in, Tarzana, California. So I drove over and I checked the date. It was like, oh, it's only been there for like a couple days. So I had to go run over there. And my wife was like, where are you? And so I was like, oh, I'm in Tarzana shooting a free Blockbuster kiosk. She's like, what? And so I'm like, I'll be home soon. And I went and I shot this thing. It was so cool. It's this little newspaper vending machine that, of course, is not used anymore. And people go and they repurpose them. So they spray paint them blue. Then they use stencils to make it look like a Blockbuster, you know, logo. And then they put little DVDs in it VHS, and it's like that whole give one, take one kind of thing. And then they advertise it on Instagram. It's all volunteer. It's all free. And I went to the freeblockbuster.org website, and sure enough, there's a bunch of these all over the U.S. And it's just done by volunteers, just kind of fun, kind of getting entertainment into people's hands for free. And so in the Blockbuster video box that I saw, there was the Office Space on DVD, there's a Pianist on VHS. Wow, old school. And there was a couple other movies as well. And I just thought it was so cool. Such a fun idea. Very nostalgic. And if you want to check it out, I've got the video on my Instagram at Rich on Tech. And, people, of course, on my Facebook were like, oh, it's just going to take one bad apple before everyone ruins this. But, you know, hopefully people are good and there's enough good people in the world to outdo the bad people in the world, right? And so it's just a fun idea. You know, it's like, are you going to get all your entertainment from this? No, but it's kind of fun if you can, you know, if you go there every Friday and just pick out a movie. I mean, it's just fun. You pick out a movie, you leave a movie. The only thing I was wondering about is, you know, what's the deal with them using the Blockbuster logo? Because the logo is very much inspired by Blockbuster. And on the website, it says, do you have permission to use this name and logo? Couldn't you get sued? And the freeblockbuster.org folks say, we received a letter from Blockbuster and have responded by requesting a license to continue using their trademarks. It's not like Blockbuster is really being used, but honestly, Blockbuster is still a very big brand name. I'm not sure if they can ever revitalize it in some way, but Blockbuster is still very recognizable and still for me, it just conjures up images of going into Blockbuster, you know, Friday night with my family and just being like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, like this is so cool. And picking out a movie and going, this was my pro tip that I shared on TV is, you know, you would grow to grow. I'm reading text messages as I'm doing this. you would go to Blockbuster and you would ask the cashier if anyone returned the movie that you want, you know, that new hot release, right? And that was like, oh, do they have it? And they'd look at those little movies that people dropped off of the cashier and they'd say, no, it's not here. Or maybe once in a while it would be there. All right, that music means it's going to do it for this episode, or that's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you would like to submit a question for me to answer, two ways to do it. Go to richontech.tv/podcast and hit the microphone button to leave a voicemail, or go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/richontech. Hit the big blue send email button. Also, I would love it if you would share this podcast with your friends, take a screenshot, put it on Instagram, say that you love listening, let your friends listen to it. Rate and review it to help other people discover it. You can do that at ratethispodcast.com/richontech. You can find me at Rich on Tech on social media. And no matter where you live in the US, you can download the free KTLA Plus app on Fire TV, Apple TV, and Roku. Then scroll to the tech section and watch all of my TV segments on demand. I love it. My name is Rich DeMiro. Thanks so much for listening. I know there are many ways you can spend an hour of your time, so I do appreciate you spending it with me. Stay safe. I will talk to you real soon.